Our next reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35 and 44 through 52. Another parable he put before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs, and it becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air may come and make their nest in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a woman." The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was all leavened. All this Jesus said to the crowds in the parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill all that was spoken by the prophets. We'll go to 44. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered it up. Then in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net which was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into the vessels, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace, and the men will weep, and there will be gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all of this?" They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasure to show what is new and what is old." May the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading, the hearing of God's holy word. May it sink deep down and bring forth much fruit. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Most gracious God, I'm a sinner saved by your grace, but I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Father, hide this preacher behind the cross that your people might see you and not me, that they might hear you and not me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I came across a story that was entitled "The Elephant Rope." A man was passing by the elephants, and suddenly he stopped, confused by the fact that these creatures were held by a single rope on their front leg. It was obvious that the elephants could break free, but he questioned why they did not. He saw a trainer nearby and he asked why these animals just stood there, made no attempt to get away. The trainer says, "When they are very young and much smaller, we put a rope on their leg. And they might try to break away, but when they realize that they can't do it, they just stay in place. And we use that same rope as they get older. And they never try to break away because they don't believe that they can. The man was amazed. These animals could at any time break free from their bonds, but because they believe that they cannot, they stay stuck right where they are. Elephants are the largest living terrestrial animals. African elephants stand 10 to 13 feet tall and can weigh from 8,000 to 15,000 pounds, while an Asian elephant stands 7 to 11 feet tall and can weigh from 6,000 to 11,000 pounds, and yet they would not break the rope that is well within their power to break. Like the elephants, how many of us go through life hanging on to beliefs about what we once were, never believing that we can become anything better, anything greater? Some of us are holding on to beliefs that we've had as children, and we hold on to those beliefs as adults. What if your parents were not there for you, and you felt abandoned? It's possible that as an adult, you would feel unlovable. What if your parents didn't take you to church, and you didn't learn about the grace of God, the love of God, the fact that God adores you, and you grew up not knowing what that love felt like, what that grace felt like? And as an adult, you might grow up to believe that you don't need God. God forbid. When Jesus established his church, he envisioned a place where believers could come and keep each other encouraged, where believers would come and together would fight the forces of evil. When Jesus established his church, he believed that nothing should prevail against the church, not even the very gates of hell. But that's not what many of us experience, because we live in a world where there are broken people. Anybody been hurt by the church? We've got a few honest people. We live in a world where people are broken, and people who are broken, sometimes we don't always do the best things. And as I was reading this scripture, and I thought to myself, maybe today is a good day. That if you were hurt by the church and hurt by people in church, maybe you would give God another chance so that God himself might fill you with the full measure of his love and of his grace. That God would give you an outpouring of his hope and his awaited restoration that Jesus intends. I want to challenge your thinking this morning with the thought, having mustard seed faith. I'm talking about faith this morning. I don't want you to put your faith in a human being, but I want you to put your faith in a God who loves you. Human beings will fail you, amen? But put your trust in God. A mustard seed is about the size of a pinhead. And in the right climate, this plant will grow, and it's unbelievable. Not to just a shrub, but as tall as 10 or 12 feet. So much for small beginnings. So in the first parable, Jesus compares the empire of heaven to a mustard seed. When it's sown, it grows into a tree whose branches the birds come and nest. What's so interesting about this is the image of the mustard seed highlights initially its smallness, its invisibility when it's sown. Then the image expands to include its growth. The result is a large size that contrasts with small beginnings. The point of the parable maybe is self-evident, that the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of a mustard seed. It begins so small, so insignificant, but it grows fast, like a tree. Perhaps Jesus is using this parable of the mustard seed to predict the phenomenal growth of the church. You see, it started out small in Galilee. Now the church is worldwide. From its beginnings and now without persecution, the church has grown into a force to be reckoned with. Jesus is trying to impart something to his disciples. No matter what we go through, and sometimes life can be hard, sometimes life has a way of throwing us a curveball. But Jesus is saying to his disciples that if you have enough faith, not a whole lot of faith, but the faith the size of a mustard seed, great things can happen. You see, sometimes when people go through struggles, they don't see sometimes where God is. God is silent. But Jesus wanted to affirm them that God is not silent, that God is not ineffective, impotent, that if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, that any obstacle in your life, you can tell that obstacle to go away, and it has to obey. And that's the secret that we have as Christians, that we can call upon God who is still in the saving business, amen? That we can call upon God who is still calling even now, calling us to great things, calling us to be a part of the kingdom which is now and the kingdom which will be. The parable of the mustard seed is contained in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. However, the gospel of Matthew provides us with the most peripheral information as it includes one parable before the other. After the parable of the mustard seed, each of the teaching comes the same. Each of the three parables, the weeds among the wheat, the mustard seed, and the yeast, have six common elements in them, providing structure to help us to interpret this. And the elements are the similitude about the kingdom of heaven, the earthly sphere of provision, both true and false. Two, a man, Christ. Three, a field, the world. Four, the seed, the word of God, or its effectiveness. Five, growth, or spreading church growth. And six, the presence of evil symbolized by the weeds, the birds of the air, and the yeast. The parable of the mustard seed, it's rhetorical, but it's hyperbole. And when I say hyperbole, what I mean is that it's almost an exaggeration. It's almost as if Jesus is exaggerating the point, overemphasizing the point so that we don't miss his point. Amen? Amen. All right, I got a good amen over there. I hope I say some other good stuff, man. But the truth of the parable is the illustration of growth in the early church. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, I planted the seed and Apollos watered, but it was God who yielded the increase. What I love about farmers is that farmers know that it's their job to plant the seed and to water the seed, but it's God's job to bring forth the increase. No evangelist can make you grow if you don't want to grow. They can pray over you, they can bring forth a message, but it's only your relationship with God is where we're going to grow, amen? The way that God uses his word in the heart of an individual, it might be mysterious at first, completely independent of human effort. It may be we are faithful in sowing our seeds, praying for the harvest, but only God can yield the increase. So what is mustard seed faith? I'm going to get to that, but what I want you to know is that the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what is mustard seed faith? When I was looking at the scripture, there's only two places that talks about the mustard seed. Matthew 17, verses 14 through 20. It talks about Jesus' disciples were not able to cast out a demon from a young boy. And when they got back together with Jesus, they asked why they were not able to cast out this demon. And Jesus says, because you have so little faith. And then he says, I tell you the truth, that if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move, and the mountain will move. Nothing will be impossible to you. I don't know what your obstacles are today. I don't know what's in your way, but Jesus says that we can tell that mountain to move, that obstacle to move, and it must obey. Nothing will be impossible to us who believe. And secondly, in Luke 17, verse 6, Jesus tells his disciples, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, go and cast yourself into the sea, and it must obey. Nothing is impossible for you. So I was thinking of mustard seed faith. I was thinking about the story in the book of Acts, Acts 3. And Peter and John are going into the temple. And as they are going into the temple, there's a man laying there. His name was Beautiful. His friends would carry him, and he would be at the entrance of the gate just begging. This happened to him from birth. And he saw Peter and John, and he did what he always did. He began to beg. And Peter said, look at me. And when they made eye contact, Peter said, silver and gold I have none. But what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And took the man by the hand. And when he stood up, scripture says, instantly his ankles and his feet became strong and he was able to walk. Scripture says that he went into the temple with them. Notice before this, he was outside the temple. He was begging. Now he's going into the temple, rejoicing with them. And when they got into the temple and people noticed them, some people said, is that beautiful? The one who was outside begging, the one who we step over to get into the sanctuary, is that him? He's walking now? And scripture says they were amazed. What I want you to hear today is that Peter and John exhibited mustard seed faith. You don't need a whole lot of it. A mustard seed is about the size of a pinhead. Jesus says you don't need a lot of it. It's not the quantity that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the quality of our faith. Where do you place your confidence? Hopefully it's not in a man or a woman, but it's in God himself. He's the only one who won't fail us. He's the only one who won't fail us. Lastly, Jesus, the perfecter and the founder of our faith. Once he marveled at the faith of a centurion soldier, he's coming into town. These Jewish elders kind of cornered him and said, Jesus, we want to tell you about a centurion who's a friend of ours. He has a servant who's dying, and he wants you to heal his servant. We want you to know that he's worthy of this. He has built us a temple. He loves our nation. And Jesus, we just want you to do this for him. Now, this is odd that a Roman soldier has Jesus' attention. A Roman soldier has the elders coming to Jesus on his behalf. Jesus says, okay, let's go. They take off to his house, but before they got there, other servants came and interrupted them. And one servant said, my master don't want you to come to the house. And here's what the note says. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy for you to come and sit under my roof. But I know that you have the power to heal my servant. I know all you have to do is say the word and it shall be done. I'm a man of authority. I know that when I tell my soldiers what to do, they have to do. When I say come, they come. And when I say go, they go. So I know you don't have to show up. All you have to do is say the word and it shall be done. When I read that passage, I thought about Jesus looking over the crowd and looking over his disciples, shaking his head. And then he spoke up loud enough so that everyone could hear him. And he says, listen to this man's faith. I have not found faith in all of Israel like this. The other place is in Mark 6, where Jesus noticed the lack of people's faith. Is where he was amazed at the lack of people's faith. But in this story, what's so beautiful is that this man, who's a Roman soldier, not a disciple, but truly a believer, understood the principle of mustard seed faith. You don't need a whole lot of it. Just a little bit will work. If you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to be moved. And scripture says, it shall. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what the obstacles are in your life, in your family's life. I don't know your finances and don't want to know. But if there's an obstacle, Jesus says, where's your faith? Not the quantity of your faith, but the quality of your faith. Where are you placing your confidence? Is it in what folks are telling you? Or is it in what you know? My grandmother used to say it like this. You got to know that you know that you know that God can and God will. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I got another one over there. I must have said something good. Praise God. Today, don't leave here without receiving the scripture in your spirit. Not just in your ear, because you can turn that off. But with your spirit, hear what God is saying to us today. If you trust me, I'll work all things out for your good. Now, scripture didn't say it's always going to be good. He says all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Let's get the scripture right. Amen? So it's going to work for our good. But the question is, where's your faith? Do you have mustard seed faith? Sometimes when we go through a challenge and it's great, we wonder if God is there. He's there. He's here right now. So I'm going to ask that you close your eyes and we're going to have a word of prayer. You can close your eyes. Nobody's going to touch your wallet, your purse. But even if you need to make a confession of faith today, Lord, there's been times when I haven't trusted you. I've trusted myself more than I've trusted you. I've trusted the voice of other people more than I've trusted the voice of you. Forgive me. Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith even now, that we would trust you and believe you for all things. Peter says to the beggar, silver and gold, I don't have any. I don't have money to give to you. But what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, what a message we could give to our families. When folks come to us, no matter the circumstances, and we say to them, what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And we would just lay hands on a family member and ask God to bless them. Father, I pray today that we would trust you and that we would believe that you can do anything but fail. There's no failure in you. Sometimes the failure is in us when we don't trust you with all things. Father, hear our prayer today. Hear the prayers that are within our heart. Maybe they're not spoken out loud, but they're in our heart. And you know them. We pray a blessing today, Lord, over our families, over this church, over this community. We ask that you would have your way. Father, let us keep on planting seeds, though. Let us keep watering those seeds and then to just trust you for the increase. Father, we pray for our sick and our shut-in. So many who would love to be here today, but they can't be here for various reasons. Stop by their homes, stop by their nursing homes, stop by the hospitals. Bless and keep them, Lord. In the hollow of your hand as only you can. You're omnipresent. You can be with us here and you can be with them simultaneously. Your power amazes us. It astounds us, Lord. And now let us pray that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done.